We keep things rolling here on the Sports Cubicle. I'm your host, Mike Mercado. I'm here with Devin Tingle and the one, the only, Paul Shavari. And Devin, we have a really special treat for the listeners of the Sports Cubicle. What do we have today?
Well, it's kind of a crazy time right now in Chicago, Mercado, because Chicago Bears recently got their brand new quarterback. And there's a team in Chicago that should get rid of their manager. And there's another team in Chicago, Mercado. They wear blue, and they just recently hired a new manager. Do you know who that is?
I have an idea, but you're trying to set me up for a trick question, aren't you, sir?
Of course I am, because we have the general manager of the Windy City Thunderbolts, Mike Verschave, on the show. Mike, thank you so much for joining us today.
Devin, thank you for allowing me to come on the show.
So first question I have to ask, you guys made headlines last year and you brought in Richie Sexton to be the head coach of the Thunderbolts, and he resigned at the end of the season, and you made headlines again, this time bigger in the Chicagoland area, bringing in 2005 World Series champion Bobby Jenks, former White Sox. Maybe he's got some friends who can coach the White Sox. That's a different interview, guys.
Sure.
So my question is, how did you come across getting Bobby Jenks, or what made you think, you know, Bobby Jenks is the guy I want managing this ball club?
Yeah, Bobby, you know, we were lucky enough to have Richie come on board. That was his first managerial position. And, you know, he lives on the East Coast, and I'm sorry, the West Coast. And so when he moved on, you know, Bobby came on. Bobby has been interested in the position. He was interested in the position last year. Bobby's not a rookie manager. He did it in the Pioneer League. It's a league over in the Colorado, Montana area. So he has about 3 years of managerial experience. The Pioneer League, I guess, an experience play is a little bit younger than the Frontier League. And so Bobby won a title with them and the team he was managing. And so, you know, when he inquired last year, we already hired Richie. And, you know, of course, with the you try to separate the allure of the White Sox, right? You don't want to, I didn't want to choose somebody just because I love the White Sox and I remember the 05 World Series. It had to be right. And so, you know, I interviewed Bobby and boy, he passed with flying colors. It was an amazing interview. It blew away my expectations.
What are you looking for a manager when you're looking to develop these players on and off the field and you're trying to help them develop in their career or for life outside of baseball, when you're in this position in Chicago and then you bring in a manager or you're looking for a manager of that stature, what are some of the things you're looking for on that checklist?
Yeah, believe it or not, you know, I mean, these players, our league used to be young. And thanks, Mike, for the question. Our league used to be a lot younger than it is now. So most of the players we have are 23, 24 to 28. So these guys are pros. And the hardest job of the manager, to be honest with you, in our league and really an independent ball or partner league, whatever you want to call it, is where are you going to get the players? Your player procurement skills, you know, what connections do you have over at the MLB level, which Bobby has, and also the college level? You know, we have the two different types of players we have. Well, there's more than two, but really majority of them are, they were drafted out of college or high school, and they got released by a major league club sometime during their system, and they're getting a second chance. Another type of player that we have are players that didn't get drafted, fell through the cracks, and they want to prove that that they belong. And boy, there are a ton of players on both of those categories that this is their dream, you know. So player procurement, that's you know, it's the networking, it's the connections, it's how you're going to get these guys. You know, there's a lot of baseball people out there, you know. So how are you going to get these players?
Dev?
Yeah, so Mike, last year the Thunderbolts did not exactly finish with a winning record. I saw you got the new head coach. But my thing is, what sort of changes to the Thunderbolts are you making to help turn this team to a club that can finish over 500 or even take first place?
Well, listen, Bobby's in charge of the roster. And I've said this before, if I had much to do with the on-field product, I would have been fired a long time ago. Our team has struggled in the standings, not just last year, but for a number of years. And every manager does it a different way. Every team does it a different way. And I know that I think we have five returning players from that team of 24 last year. So at the very least, win or lose, it's going to be different and fresh. So,
Pauly,
has it been easier or harder putting together the roster ever since the changes where it was, before? I know there was kind of stringent rules with the younger players, and now you're saying it's guys that used to be in an affiliated system. Has that posed any more difficulties, or has that been easier to kind of piece together a roster?
That's kind of a difficult question. I think, I just think it's a different animal. So, you have your pros and cons with everything. The younger players, there's certainly a ton of them. It's easier, we find housing for these people. It's easier to find housing for the younger guys. The older players are more experienced. Obviously they have higher expectations as far as player services and the type of facilities that we have, which we've made many improvements the last few years. And I wouldn't say it's harder or easier. I would just say that it's just a little different. It's two different types of player.
How often are you in communication with the major league teams and seeing where their vibes are at, where their mentality is at? Because like you said, there's a lot of baseball people out there, that's including that are employed in all these different affiliations and all these different leagues and all these different levels. How close are you in particular, your office, your team, to talking with the major league teams in Major League Baseball to see where they're at when it comes to philosophy of what we should be doing with these pitchers' arms, what we should be doing with nutrition, what we should be doing for people's mental health and physical health? How involved are you all in that?
Not very involved as far as I know. There's the subject right now around baseball is the pitchers' injuries, and is the pitch clock putting a little too much stress on these arms, or is it this zero focus, this singular focus on velo that is hurting? I assume it's definitely not just one answer. But we, as far as our relationship with Major League Baseball, it's really about, nobody for the Thunderbolt roster, nobody wants to be a Thunderbolt for life. And it's our goal, a byproduct of trying to win, is for these players to move up. The goal is to have these players get signed by these affiliated clubs, whether they get their second chance or whether it's that college kid that fell through the cracks. So every game, we'll have a number of scouts at our game. And my department and Bobby, they're in constant communication with that also goes back to networking. And so the better relationships you have with the scouts, you have with the Major League Baseball clubs, you can have those candid conversations with the scouts about players that might leave the Thunderbolts for a certain team, but you could also have those candid conversations with the Major League Baseball clubs about maybe the players that are on the verge of getting released, that they give you this hint and say, you might want to take a look at this guy, keep this guy in the loop. Let's see how he does over at our level of baseball. So that's pretty much our relationship with Major League Baseball. I would say, not the offices, but certainly teams, whether it would be certainly the White Sox, we have a lot, it's just geographically so close. So you can bet that the White Sox and the Cubs have a presence here.
Speaking of relationship with Chicago and baseball on this level, when it comes to the intimacy that you see, there's been a boom in what I feel is like local affiliated baseball around, including your squad, and you've been here since the Cheetah days, right? Like since you've seen the growth happen. You've seen affiliation name changes, ownership changes. But when I think of the Frontier League or any of these other leagues, right, I think of smaller cities, smaller towns, modest towns in the middle of America, in the South, just places that don't have, like you just said, two Major League Baseball teams. Yet every affiliate here in Chicago seems to have like its own diehard fan base. It's fan base that cares about it. They care for where these players grow and where they go, and they get to know them. Has that been something that has surprised you, the growth of it over the last 5-10 years, that Chicago and the suburbs around Chicago, from the south suburbs to the north suburbs, have adopted so many minor league and frontier leagues and semi-pro and different baseball teams?
Well, I grew up in Oak Lawn. And so when I was a kid, before the Cheetahs even existed in 99, so this would be the mid 90s, I remember clearly the Kane County Cougars having schedules in Oak Lawn and around the area I lived when I was a kid. And as a baseball fan, I knew who the Cougars were. The Cougars were the first team that went into the city, into the highly populated areas. And it's almost crazy how different it is from that the Kane County Cougars would have pocket schedules blanketed all over Oak Lawn and Evergreen and Orleans. And now you have seven clubs that are within 45 minutes, an hour. And I would say it's been surprising, certainly surprising if you talk to me when I was a kid. But when I grew up and I saw this ballpark getting built, I thought this was going to be the Southside's Kane County Cougars. And it sort of is. And it maybe took a different path. And it didn't have the pomp and circumstance that the Cougars had. But you're right. They're in the Frontier League alone, there's a team in Cleveland, a team in St. Louis, a team in Cincinnati, a team in the Pittsburgh area. So it's a bit of a half and half, even more to big city teams. But even in New York, New Jersey, and I think it's probably about population and what is too many teams. It depends on population and disposable income. And so, you know, you have three teams that are super close to New York, New Jersey. Here you have more. It's incredible. I know this. We're the Thunderbolts are the smallest one. We've been around, other than the Cougars, the longest. And we keep on trucking and chugging along for the South Side of Chicago. And I think it's that identity where Joliet's taking out Joliet and Will County. We're taking the South Southwest side, the Rosemonts, the Schaumburgs, all those teams. Then you could even go farther. You could go farther north, whether it's across the border, Wisconsin or in Indiana. They all find their place. They've all done a great job of finding their place. And up until now, including for us, there's enough pie to go around. So,
Devin, why don't you give a reset for all the friends joining us here on the Sports Cubicle, a jam-packed edition of the Sports Cubicle with Devin Tingle, Paul Shivari. I'm Mike Mercado. Dev?
Yeah, so, I mean, we got a lot of excitement with the Bears' new quarterback, but right now we got some excitement, you know, on the more local level. Strange to say about Chicago here, as we got general manager of the Windy City Thunderbolts, Mike Vershave here. And, Mike, I looked at the schedule. You guys, I'm going to say it. The Thunderbolts have the best promotions out of any baseball team I've seen here. And I saw a lot that were returning this year. And I saw a couple new ones on the schedule as well. So do you have some of your old favorites that are coming back this year, or some new ones you're really excited to see how those go?
Well, my favorite's Nancy Faust. I went to a ton of Sox games and I love the Oregon. You're right. We do have new ones and we do put a lot of effort, not only into our promotions on our calendar, but also the on-field promotions in our game. I mean, it's like I said earlier, we have struggled in the standings for quite a while. And gosh, every year I say, I hope we turn it around and we win every game. But the reason we're still here is because we put so much effort into those promotions. And like you said, we do have a couple new ones, whether, you know, we have a Ghostbusters night this year. I think we're doing a Swifty night. We couldn't ignore it any longer. It's too popular.
They're gonna have a Taylor Swift night for you.
About time.
Yeah. So, and you know, I love Taylor Swift. I love the music. My daughter has forced me into submission on that. So, I'm all fine with it. But you know, we try to do a little different things, and we stick with our regulars, whether it's the Elvis night or the Beatles night. Those are our ones that are always popular. We love having Nancy. It's country night. Harry Potter, it's all, and it's just not to the weekends. We do wrestling every Thursday with those beer specials. And, it's something for everyone. It's not as family on a Thursday. Families certainly have a great time on Thursday. But we have a type of game for every type of person during the summer.
Paulie? I
saw that you had like a Bobby Jenks bobblehead night too. I would imagine that that's going to be a popular one, and it looks like fireworks on pretty much every Friday and Saturday. But I wanted you to kind of talk about some of the promotional deals that there are. Like I think I saw like two tickets, two hot dogs, two drinks for like $26 or something like that, and then like a family pack where it's like $45 and it gets like four people into the game, that, you know, with food and all the refreshments, and I think even a souvenir.
Yeah, so we do have a bunch of ticket deals. The fireworks are on the Fridays and Saturdays. We do that special combo deal. And so it's upper deck seat, hot dog, and a ticket on our Firework Fridays. $26, so $13 ahead. Add more if you want when you purchase. We have those $3 tickets on Tuesday, and then when you get in the ballpark, you can do the $2 hot dog, chips, soda, water. Veterans, seniors are free on Wednesday, and then we even do karaoke. And that family day on Sunday, what do we got here? It's a hot dog drink, souvenir, ice cream cup, all for $45 for a family of four. So we understand, that we want the dollar to stretch farther than it might at some other places, and so that's important to us. And we try to put on a good show and not have it break a bank.
Dev?
Yeah, Mike, that's one of my favorite things about the Frontier League. You guys always are trying to keep baseball at a nice, affordable price here. And thank you for that because it makes people able to just go to so many more games here. I know we're running close to the end of the show, end of the interview here. So I guess my big question here is the end. I guess, what are you looking forward to most this season for the Thunderbolts? And are there any players currently in the Thunderbolts that we should really keep an extra good eye on because they're going to be the next big star?
What am I looking forward to mostly with the season? I guess just getting it going. It's weird. I wanted to get going, but I needed to slow down because we have so much to do. And we're not unique in that every team is it's crunch time. We're getting ready. But we'll be ready for those for that opener on Thursday, May 9th. As far as the player goes, like I said, that's Bobby's world. I know we have a few returning players that are great, and they're back for a reason. Whether it's Justin Miller or whether it's Carson Walker, and gosh, I even think we have Gary Sheffield's son on the team, so Garrett's on the team. So you don't know. I mean, that's Bobby's world, and so I just hope it puts a good fo foot forward for him, and he has a successful season.
Mike, everybody, final question. Everybody's asking. I mean, I just know everybody's asking. So, will you be sharing floats after you win your championship with Caleb Williams after they win their Super Bowl, their first ones? How will you guys be sure? How will the details be working at Grant Park? Will that be how we're celebrating a Super Bowl and from your front league championship together? How are we doing this?
Sure. We already have a permanent, so. I think from what I've been told, nobody's asked for that same time frame, so we should be okay. But if the Bears need a little more reason for people to come out, we'll be happy to join their celebration.
Devin, take us home, buddy.
There you go, Mike. If anyone wants to learn more about the team or buy tickets, where can they go?
Yeah, just go on our website. It's wcthunderbolts.com. We have a extensive website, tons of information. Or just Google search Windy City Thunderbolts. You can't miss us. And we hope to see everybody that's listening here at the ballpark this summer.
Mike, this was an absolute pleasure. Good luck to you. Good luck to Bobby. Good luck to the entire organization and the players themselves, of course. And we can't wait to see the boys of summer take over in the South Side and do what they do best. We got more coming in next on a jam-packed edition of the Sports Cubicle. It's Devin Tingle. It's Paul Shivari. I'm Mike Mercado.